Hello, everybody. My name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And you are now watching
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back, everybody, where we're keeping you fresh in the world of mess.
And helping us feel better together, because Lord knows we need it.
How has your week been, friend? How you feeling?
So from the last time I talked to you guys, my week has been, it's had its ups and its downs. Family is cool. Speaking of that, my brother just recently got married.
Congratulations!
So, yes, shout out to him and Jessica. Love that both for them, and I am super happy and excited for them. I love love. So I am very, very, very happy for them. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's that was like a super big highlight, but it's just been chill family wise. Shout out to all my siblings. Like, I don't say it enough, but I really do love y'all, and I know I need to connect more and do better, but shout out to Faith, Chris, Charity, and my brother Christian. I think about you often. I think about you often, kid. Fuck it. You know what, everybody. Jason, Derek, Sent, all y'all. Daniel, I haven't talked to you in so long. I miss you so much. All my family, man. That's just, I don't know. My family's been on my heart lately. But yeah, you know, that's cool. That is what it is. Work has been interesting, right? Recently, I think I talked about this on episode before last, or maybe last episode. I can't remember. I was saying, like, you know, I'm starting to be like, girl, was this the move? And there were some things happening. And I just want to say this, y'all, when situations come up, nip that shit in the bud ahead of time. As someone who is, and I can't even say that I'm non-confrontational, because I'm not your typical Libra in that sense. Like, I feel like I used to be, but the older I get now, I just kind of don't give a fuck anymore. And I'm like, I think there's a time and place for opportunities, right? Like, second chances. Maybe that's something that we need to add to the episode list, because I have thoughts on this, right? Like, second chances, who deserves second chances? What situations deserve second chances? What people, like, there's a lot of different things to look at in regards to, like, second chances and opportunities. And I feel like in some situation in cases, it is very clear that this isn't worth a second chance or another opportunity, and you nip it in the bud before it starts. So I had to nip some shit in the bud.
Proud of you.
My resume is still, I already made me a 2025 resume just in case. Like, I'm not in the mood for bullshit anymore, and I mean that on, like, a wide scope. I'm not gonna play with myself anymore. I'm not gonna play with my time. I don't have the time. Like, we feel like we have all the time in the world, and maybe we truly do, but at the end of the day, you really don't have the time that you think you have, and stop wasting time on things that do not matter, that do not add value to your time. You can make money again. You can make friends again. You can fall in love again. The one thing that you cannot get back once it is gone is your time. Time is, you can't touch it, but God knows that is the most valuable thing that you own. So, like, once you lose time or you waste time, if you can't look back and say there's at least a lesson from it, or whatever the case may be, was it really worth it? And then how many of the same lessons do you have to learn? So I say all that to say, before I go on a tangent, because I'm not going to do that, respect your time. And when shit don't make sense, then make it make sense and do what's best for you. So I did that. I'm proud of myself. I spoke up for myself, and I'm in a better setting. We're going to see how that works. And if it doesn't work, then on to the next thing. I've been able to manage and survive. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been able to manage and survive so far, and I have done well for myself. I continue to do well for myself, and I try my best, and I'm going to continue to go even harder. So, yeah, in that case, I'm proud of myself for sticking up for myself and not taking shit. As far as music and TV, I don't think there's any new music. And TV's quite literally the exact same. Like, correction. Yes. So one of my favorites from last year, Jordan Simone, I mentioned her because she had a song called Don't Wake Up. She's one of these TikTok artists that I found. And she's not a TikTok artist. She's a legit artist. But like one of the people that I found because of TikTok, because of the algorithm. But she makes like fire music. And she just recently dropped an EP. If you like Victoria Monet, if you like Kehlani, you'll like her.
Okay.
And that's Jordan with a Y. So J-O-R-D-Y-N, Simone. Simone is spelled traditionally. But she's got a song called Gray off the album that I like a lot.
Wait, is that the girl from Bel-Air?
Bel-Air. I don't know. I still haven't seen Bel-Air. Oh. And I really need to get my life together. Did you know they canceled it?
No.
Yep, I think this season or whatever the next... Either this season or next season is the last one.
Okay, no, I can actually understand the fifth season being the last season. It was kind of a... Like, that's the direction it's headed in.
Got it.
So I understand that. But I thought you meant, like, canceling. We wasn't going to see that last season. I'm like, all right, now y'all playing on my time. Because at this point in time, I'm about ready to cancel every last one of y'all.
I would double check what I just said. It may be. I don't know. I just know I saw, like, somebody was talking about it on TikTok. And they were talking about, like, black shows that got canceled or is getting canceled, and they're like, because they were talking about what's the show that you put me on, Issa Rae's other show. She wasn't in it, but she produced that
rap
one.
That's shit.
Yeah, they were talking about rap shit. They were talking about Lovecraft, which, okay, little bias here. I think Lovecraft ended as it should have. I would have loved for it to have another season, but at the same time, I definitely got all the things from the first season. So, like, I was okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ended okay for me.
Ended as it should have.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that being a show that you could have drug out for a few seasons and it would have just kind of got stupid.
Hey, there we go. It would have, and I hate that, friend. Like, don't drag something out and it go through a decline. Just keep it living its hype. And then when it's done, it's done. Oh, I have started watching this new show that's not new. It's super old, called All American. All American been around for a minute. But
they got a lot of seasons.
Yeah, I think the one I'm watching is like seven. It's got a spinoff series? See,
I think it has a spinoff series.
I just got into it because I saw a clip that interested me on TikTok. So I was like, okay, let me see. Because I've heard about it before. So now I'm just debating, like, do I want to go back? But I already have, like, what is it, two other shows that I need to go back on. So I need to go back on Bel-Air because I still haven't started Bel-Air. And I need to go back to The Sha because I still haven't started The Sha. And The Sha has, like, crazy – where everybody loves The Sha. So I'm like, I need to go back and do that.
Brilliant. Now, The Sha is one of them shows. I love binge-watching the show or catching the show late because I can. It's a lot of content to catch up on, and it just takes your time. Some shows, when you binge watch them, you kind of can't because certain characters do shit so repetitively that you like can't watch it. You like, I'm sick of this shit and I'm sick of this bitch and I'm sick of him or her doing or saying the same shit every fucking time. But The Shy, my God, today, that's one of the best shows I think I've ever watched ever.
Wow. Like,
yeah, The Sha is that girl. You know how I feel about Castlevania? That's actually how I feel about The Sha, too.
Oh, damn. So, okay. Yeah, I need to get
And you know how that. I feel about Castlevania.
Shout out. I said Atticus something. And I just want to mention this. Shout out to Castlevania and its animators for not making Sambo-looking characters. Every other anime, them characters. What?
They look like, bro, they're supposed to sound like they in the Three Stooges. Ooh, boop, 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 boop.
I'd be
with
like,
big ass eyes,
big ass eyes, head, big plink,
big lips.
Pink lips. I'm like, bro, come on. But what were you gonna say, friend?
Shit, I done fucking forgot now.
being goofy, they do look like they. They do they. I'd be like, oh my god, why they look like this?
Yes,
but Castlevania, them characters. Y'all know what y'all do.
I've been trying to get more into anime, seeing how good Castlevania was, and that was one I almost missed. The Seven Deadly Sins is really good, but y'all gotta give me some more. Some Castlevania-ish. You gotta be some magic in it. It can't just be like war zombie type stuff, because I'm super into...
Ask Naomi, because you know she's heavy into anime, so
yeah.
I'll see what she can find. I love
some
shit with
some magic and other beings. Witches. Love it. Love Sailor Moon. Love it.
Long-ass transformation.
Right, which I think that series came to an end. I don't think it was able to end properly when it first came on when we were kids, but I think the series I just watched brought it to its end.
Like a good conclusion. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I think so.
Yeah. That's it for me, though. What about you, friend? How's your week, man?
This past week has been pretty good. I actually got one of my goals by starting therapy this past week. Our first session was pretty good. I enjoyed it, and I actually can't wait to dive a little bit more into it to uncover some other things. But
hey,
it was pretty good. Work is work. Nothing great. That was good. I have a really good one for music, but I can't give them to you because we're still in Black History Month. So he's going to have to wait until
I'm
March.
I'm dead.
He's going to have to wait until March. With all due respect, he makes great music, but sir, this isn't the one for you.
It's not yet. Next week, not this
next week. Not this week, but I'm coming back for you. I promise. It's good. I think you will like him a lot, Fred. I'll send him to you after this.
Okay.
What else? What else? What else? What else? Ooh, I went to see Captain America today. Before I say 10 out of 10, let me explain to you guys that I'm very easily entertained. I'm like a child. So when it comes to stories, sometimes that doesn't matter quite as much as everything else. Like how everything looks, how everything plays out, them action scenes, 10 out of 10. Not saying it didn't have a good story, because it really did, but I'm just saying I'm really entertained and I love that movie a lot. So if you haven't seen Captain America, A Brave New World, please go see that. I think y'all would love it.
Love that. Because of Black History Month too. We got a Black Captain America.
And a Hispanic or Latino Falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. What else was I about to say? I ain't really watched a whole bunch of TV this week. I just watched like random YouTube videos. Also, another just random thought I've been having lately. It's a lot going on in the world, right? I'm just going to stop supporting all kind of shit that don't have Black people in it. So if it's like a new TV show and I don't see no people like me, I'm not going to watch it. It might look great. It might be great. I'm just not going to watch it, though. Because at this point in time, I feel like something else is going on when I see that. So no, thank you.
You know what's funny about that, friend, is that we, especially as of here recently, have seen so many people of other complain about like not being seen in certain areas. I'm like, oh, so you don't like feeling underrepresented is what you're telling me. Could be a familiar feeling. How does that make you feel? Oh, because you exist, right? And you've always existed. Okay. It's just like some things are so obvious and so just I've just been like I'm gonna stay in my happy place. But I'm with you when you're right, friend. So right on to that, because yeah, like at this point there's no reason. I have seen shows that are like solid white too. I'm talking about y'all ain't even like, got no Latino character. There ain't no person no of color in there.
No
like,
extras.
Damn.
No nothing. Not a supporting best friend.
Somebody like walking nothing. Around in the damn background. I'm like, so everybody is white?
Right. But you know where you do see them? In jail. Let a jail scene happen. The majority. They're gonna be in there. They ain't gonna be nowhere else. Or working, doing fucking yard work or some shit.
Listen.
But
we know what it is.
Doing
we
their know black what job. It is. But anywho. Yeah.
I'm gonna get mad. Friend.
Don't no, we're not gonna get mad. We're not gonna get mad. This is a good day.
It is. It is.
All right. Is there
raggedy
any
bitches?
Raggedy. Raggedy.
Raggedy bitches.
Real raggedy. You know what my favorite TikToks are?
What?
The ones that say, if you're black, you're never really alone. It's a white person somewhere in your business. Those are like the best ones because it was a girl putting on her lashes like she was recording herself doing it because it looked like she was on a plane. And while she was putting on her lashes in the camera, you just see a white lady in the back. She's like, peeking all over her seat. I'm like, what are you even doing?
One of my favorite videos, this is an older video now. It was like post first COVID when they first let us back outside that summer of 2020. It was this guy in the store, and he was just in like a regular 7-Eleven, and he was just getting some snacks. Like he literally, you could tell he wasn't doing nothing. He was getting like some hot Cheetos and an Arizona tea and some candy. You know what I'm saying? Just regular shit. And the store clerk just kept walking, or like she was very clearly following him. So he turned around and started following her, and she started screaming. And that was the funniest shit. I was like, that's what your ass did. Because why are you bothering this man? Right.
Why are you? What other reason?
No reason.
The white refrigerator.
Hola, mi de padre patria. Papador. Papador. Bienvenido. Mucho gracias. Hola, como estás, papi? First of all,
we need to go find Quentin and make some beats.
So I'm probably gonna, because as fun as this is to address this whole Drake and Kendrick thing, and it's been super entertaining on this podcast for sure, I'm almost getting to a place to where I'm tired of talking about it, especially seeing how it originated. So this top shelf is going to be dedicated to that and that quickly. But so I sent Atticus a video that this guy uploaded. It was like a 3-4 minute video, which I love those when they can get all the meat and potatoes in one segment and one thing. But essentially, it followed like the timeline of this whole Drake beef. So, of course, we know it all started with the Control verse. So I want to put a pinpoint there. Let's talk about that for a minute. In black culture, it has been a thing since, I would definitely say, like since the late 80s, early 90s, for other rappers to call other rappers out in like a very playful sparring kind of way. Like, oh, nigga, I'm the best. No, nigga, I'm the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, fuck all your records. I got the best records out. Like, this is something that we do. This is very well documented in black culture. This is just something that we always did. And it's a respect thing, right? Because if I come at you like that, that's because I respect you and I know that you can, if we battling each other, you know what I'm saying? Unless it's like beef, like legit beef. And I want to put an emphasis on like legit beef. Then, you know what I'm saying? This is playful sparring. We going back and forth with each other because I feel like you can hang. You know what I'm saying? It comes from the Control verse, which Kendrick called everybody out. And everybody, literally everybody, was like, okay, K-Dot, we see you, my nigga. We can go. Like, it was like, much love. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? If you down, I'm down, we can go. This nigga, being the whole ass nigga he is, took it personally. And he went on a series of different interviews and such, and was just like, being very pouty about it. One in particular, me and Addie talked about, which was the one he did with Angie Martinez. And she was clearly like, okay, you know what I'm saying? It was like a playful banter type thing. You seem like you feel some kind of way. And he, and
like, she kept trying to tell him, like, this is a thing that happens. It wasn't, there was no malicious intent behind it. It just is.
And Drake was like, I just feel like, you know, if, you know, you don't talk about somebody that you care about like that. And like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then you say, you know, you see Kendrick a few days later and you dap each other up. I think he said it at like the MTV Awards, one of those award shows. So like, clearly, you know, he didn't have malicious intent. He's talking shit. That's what rappers do. They talk shit. You have carried this hatred for years and been taking shots at him indirectly. So now all these other interviews, all these other segments that you've been on pop up, are you talking out your neck about this man? The crazy part is Kendrick has been quiet and cool about this for 13 fucking years. 13 years. And everybody's shocked that it's going the way it is now. This is pent up. You know what I'm saying? And I still want to see whatever happened on what was that? Sportscast? Sports Center? Whatever interview that Drake,
come out so bad.
Because the fact that he was like, he had to have said something reckless to be like, actually, can y'all just not air this at all? And if you don't air this, I'm not doing the ESPYs. Like, yes. That is actually insane. But ultimately, what I realized that all this comes down to is, and it kind of, this pisses me off, because as someone, ooh, y'all gonna eat me up for what I'm about to say, but y'all know I don't care. So I'm gonna say this to where y'all can understand what I say, because I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you comprehend. So I'm gonna say this in the simplest way that I can say it. Every music has impact, right? I'll give you a perfect example. Atticus and I have, I'm not gonna say we have very different tastes in music. We just have different tastes as far as like what.
I would say we do at like the things we listen to most often, the things that we like the most.
Yes. Yeah, like I could listen to at any given time a full Kendrick Lamar album and vibe out. Mm-hmm. He would listen to, you know, one of the girls and get all his things from there. One practice doesn't make one better than the other. Okay? Stick with me. However, when we're talking about things of substance, and this is one reason in particular that I am a fan of Megan, because Megan doesn't mind talking about real shit. Like, she has no problem talking about her depression. She has no talk, but like, she's talked about the shit she's been through. Same thing with Glow. Glow will do that too. Dochi. The song that we love so much is literally her talking about how she got cheated on, found out her nigga was DL, how that nigga destroyed all her shit, how she has been binging drugs song. And shit. Right, like...
The song is actually really dark. It just sounds great and upbeat. It's actually a super dark song.
Like, come on, like... But she's talking about real shit. You can enjoy something and it not hold substance. And when I say that, that upsets a lot of people. And I'm not saying that in an ugly way, because I've said this multiple times on the show before. We like Tupac and Rakim and all them other people at the same time that we liked Uncle Luke and all them niggas and the 2 Live Crew. However, we knew with Pop, Pop, get it, versus Dear Mama. You know what I'm saying? So it's just mm-hmm. like... We understood that as far as a sense of substance, there was one that held more value than the other. So I'm going to tie that back into the Drake and Kendrick thing. What I have realized, especially with all the little leaks and the stuff that came out and the things that Drake has said over the years, Drake very much felt like, because I made more popular music, my music was better. That was never the case. In reality, while your music gets more plays, it never held the same substance. It never held the same value. People play with Kendrick like this nigga. What other rapper do you know as a Pulitzer? What other rapper is a Pulitzer Award winner? Let me know.
And think about that. Like, you get more, you are more successful number-wise, perhaps. There's also the fact that you have been more constant with your output. You have been constantly putting stuff out since you came out. Therefore, and you are popular, therefore, you are going to be more successful number-wise because there's more to do number-wise. There's
more content. Yep.
There's way more content there. But when it comes to, and I'm not saying his music is bad or he lacks so much substance, because I have not listened to Drake for an extended period of time. And not for one like specific reason. He's just not my, like, I enjoy the girls. I don't listen to a whole lot of the guys, but it's been a long time. And you had a few super hit songs. Now, whether you wrote them or stole them from somebody else, that ain't none of my business. But they were so big that they also helped your numbers. But every time Kendrick came out, what did Kendrick have? Which seemed to have somewhat been forgotten at the start of the most recent beef. Every time he came out, Kendrick had numbers. Every time. There was not a time where he didn't do well. And I think he's the first person to have a Double Diamond song. With
in doing it with the type of music he makes, that's the difference. It's been this whole thing like they can't make each other's type of music, and I beg to differ. I absolutely think we saw it with Not Like Us.
Well, I was about to say what happened with Not Like Us.
Like, we absolutely, and then I mean, you think about all the songs that's on Damn, that is far more of a commercial type album than any of his other work. I mean, that's the one that won the damn Pulitzer Award. So, like, or Pulitzer Prize, like that. I just, ultimately, it boils down to hearing all these things that Drake has said, that Drake has always felt like he was better than Kendrick. And, like, better overall. Like, he just thought he was better. So, what really grinded his gears about this whole situation is that somebody sunned him who he thought he was just way better than. When in reality, sir, numbers don't equate to talent. I'm sorry. And again, that doesn't take anything away from you or your fan base, because I know a lot of these Aubrey Angels been in their feelings because they feel like people is just attacking Drake and all this other shit. No, listen, well, I ain't gonna say ain't nobody attacking Drake, because same. I haven't really listened to him since Scorpion. Especially when he started like attacking women, like you siding with Tory Lanez, you attacking Megan, you attacking what's her name, Esmeralda Spalding, Michelle Obama, Rihanna, you just doing weirdo shit.
What is it?
He's an incel in real life, and I think ultimately that was another thing with this album too, is that this man is what, Drake is a year or two older than me. I think 2 years. He was either born in 86 or 85. We both pushing 40. And you got a few more years on me, at least by 1 year. So at what point do you grow up? And I'm not saying don't make entertaining music, but at what point do you find that balance? And what I mean by that is, we're going to use Beyonce as an example, because iconic.
Brand, I was just about to say that, because 30 years.
Beyonce, we can watch her music change and elevate, and her insight and how she, like, y'all, I don't know if the younger people listen to us. I think I was seeing some numbers, and a lot of y'all do. So I'm gonna put y'all on some game real quick. Before y'all saw this black ass Beyonce that you're seeing now, Beyonce, not to say that she wasn't, she just was more poppy sounding.
She had a very controlled sound. Yes. I feel like it was probably like more, I have to do this right now because I'm like obligated to like make a massive record type of thing. And you can almost hear a difference between, I want to say, I Am Sasha Fierce and 4. Because I think at around 4 is when it all began and you start to see the black Beyonce. But before that, it was very much, she was Beyonce, but she was pop. Destiny's Child, commercial, pop.
And speaking of that, the real, like, for sure, like, And yeah, Addie's absolutely right. Like, four is when you start to see, like, that true R&B. Because, I mean, and honestly, she kind of started out with that, I feel like, in Crazy in Love. Or, no, Dangerously That's in true. Love. Like, that album was definitely more R&B. But then we see, boom, Lemonade. Was it Lemonade? Yeah, Lemonade had Formation on it. Lemonade shook everybody. Except for us, because we knew. But
yeah.
Lemonade.
She's sinking on a police car!
They lost.
They hated her after that.
Their shit after that. Yeah. And it was like, but you see this growth. Even to, like I said, I think Cowboy Carter at this moment is my favorite Beyonce album, like, of all time. And everybody is talking about, like, the American theme. I'm like, baby, you don't realize how bad she is actually dragging America in this album. Alligator Tears? People ain't really listening. That's my favorite song off the album. If y'all not listening to that, please listen to what she is saying in Alligator Tears. You say move a mountain and I tie up my boots. You say change religion and now I spend Sundays with you. Something about those tears of yours. How does it feel to be adored? Y'all not listening to this woman. Listen, you see this transition. But I say that to say she, even Kendrick Lamar, like, you see how he starts out with Good Kid, Mad City, and you kind of follow the story of his life. Even in Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, like, you see him, like, come into this place in his manhood. You know what I'm saying? Where he's, like, realizing, I'm fucking up my relationship with Whitney. I'm not fulfilling myself as a man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a father now. Tyler, the Creator's last album, you see, you know, him. I mean, he's still talking shit. That's one thing I love about Tyler. He's talking shit. But, like, he's talking about being scared of starting a family. How, you know, he finds out that, you know, his mother was really the reason that his dad wasn't around and that his dad wanted to be in his life and how that could have impacted him. Like, you see this growth. You don't have no growth with Drake's music. I kid you not, Fran, I listened to the whole album twice. Just to be fair, my favorite song, I think, is Raining in Houston. I like that song. And it's like one other one on there that I like a lot, too. Like, I give them both, like, eights. They're decent. If I had to rate the whole album, I'm giving it, like, a 3.4, though. Tragic, but, like, the whole album.
You totally. Say you love me, girl, but you are my world, but bitch, fuck you. And
I'm just like, we're doing the same shit. We've been doing this. So you're not 25 anymore. We're telling you, literally, you got a song about hugging strippers.
Yeah, it sounds like it was either one, a bunch of songs that didn't make it to any other project, or songs that he wrote for other people that didn't make it onto their projects. That's what it sounds like. And I ain't listened to it. This is just what other people described it as.
I did listen to it. And what I can tell y'all is this, friend, you hit it right on. These are absolutely throwaway tracks. And on top of that, this is a Drake album. He tried to disguise this as a collaboration. Party Next Door is on that bitch exactly 5 times out of 21 songs. Yeah. It may be a little bit more. I'm exaggerating. But it is. I'm not exaggerating by much. Like,
I saw somebody say
there's whole songs with him on there by himself. Yes. Yeah.
He disguised it that way just in case it didn't do well so he could say it wasn't, you know, a Drake album. Which I think it's going to be like number one, if I'm not mistaken, which is expected because it's Drake. And no matter what happens, this is just in my opinion because I saw the same shit with Nicki Minaj and the Barbs. No matter what happens or what they do, they're not going to not be successful. They'll be successful every time they release because they have a big ass fan base.
Right.
No matter how much shit they do.
And but like Nicki with the Remy Ma thing, and I think we talked about that last week too. Like, it doesn't stop the damage that's been done. The damage is done.
Broke the facade. Your image got cracked wide open.
And wow, and then he kind of like briefly addresses that in the album too. And then you turn around and you make a song about a girl coming to stay with you after her mama kicked her out of the house. Drake, how old is this girl that's recently kicked out of her mom's house? your words, and then you got a song that samples what's his name? Is it Aaron Hall? I can't remember that. That nigga is the worst nigga right now for you to say. I just was like,
Aaron, who's that?
I miss you. I'm talking to you, baby. I miss you. It's old.
Okay, I know that song now.
Look up his charges right now. I probably wouldn't. Yep. I probably wouldn't did that. So
wow.
Yeah, everybody was terrible, friend. I've come to the conclusion that everybody from that era was garbage. We might have had a few, but it was not many, nigga. It was not many.
Ooh, we think we got it bad. Now the 90s sound like the Wild Wild West for real. God damn.
Y'all, the funniest shit they was talking about that Mexican song that he just shouldn't have. You rhyming por favor with Coca-Cola is crazy work. But somebody said, because he was saying, por favor, mi amor. Wrong. Anyways, somebody said he started speaking Spanish so he could go to more quinceañeras.
Wow.
I was like, you know
what? Maybe this just wasn't the best time to release at all. Just take this whole year off.
Friend, I told you he needed to disappear for a couple. He needed to, like, you're rich. You're rich. Unless you're gambling and got your ass in trouble. But you're rich, right? You're even on tour. Go tour. Do something. But you trying to... Anyways, that's all I got for Top Shelf, y'all. I just wanted to address that because I really am tired of talking about it. I loved it when it was happening. I still love it. Because not that I hate Drake. I can admit that I've liked plenty of his music. But at the same time, it's just more and more evident and more stuff come out that he genuinely is a terrible person. And that doesn't, I just feel so much less bad for you.
Yeah. I saw one TikTok of a Hispanic guy playing that song. Oh, no. He was just looking and he was like, no, Drake, you're not like us either.
That man really said, gracias, papi, my man. I was like, oh, what is this, nigga? He said, I got to steal from somebody's. This man, because the blacks are done. All of them from all diasporas. The ones in the Caribbean over there in the water, in the islands. The ones here, we're done. So he was like, who else can I steal some shit from? It makes me feel like me.
Allegedly. Well, time will tell. let's move on into black excellence for this week. The Wyvern
Refrigerator. So, my first person is Mr. Walter Lincoln Hawkins, born in 1911, and he sadly passed in 1992, but he lived a very full life. Oh, that's a long time, 81 years. He was a pioneering chemist and engineer whose work had a transformative impact on telecommunications. He was the first African-American scientist at AT&T's Bell Laboratories, where he made a significant contribution to polymer chemistry. Hawkins is best known for co-inventing a durable and cost-effective plastic sheath for telecommunications cables in the 1950s. This invention replaced lead-based materials, which were expensive and harmful to the environment, with long-lasting sunlight-resistant polymer. The development significantly reduced costs and helped universal telephone service globally. So next time you think about your phone service, thank this man, because he was one of the people that made that happen. In addition to his groundbreaking inventions, he held over 140 patents and contributed to sustainable plastic recycling methods. So we love a globally, environment conscious king. Mm-hmm. Because Lord knows we ain't doing nothing like that now. But yes, so shout out to Mr. Walter Lincoln Hawkins, and he looks like such like a grandpa.
I love he this does. Guy. And he was doing it way back then. Damn.
Doing it ways and work. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's move on. I know we were supposed to be doing unknown people, but this week I decided to take a different route. So my person, the first one, I think everyone knows who she is.
Period. So,
there is so much more that can be said about this person than what I've like written down, but I wanted to keep it somewhat brief. And like I said, I know we wanted to highlight lesser known people. And there are so many more unknown people that we could have highlighted. And some of those people are from today and some of them are from yesterday. But I felt the need to do this one because recently we've seen a lot of belittling and discrediting the accomplishments she's had. And I feel like no matter how you feel about someone personally, you can acknowledge when they've achieved greatness. And I personally haven't seen any other entertainer of this time reach this level of greatness. Like, we were just talking about great. Drake. My bad. That really was an accident. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
But in that same vein, what I was trying to get to is the fact that even though like what him and Kendrick have gone through recently, nobody's taken away like his accomplishments because you can't, because he's Drake.
Right.
So, but I'd like to continue to say that she's been in the music industry for around 30 years, give or take now.
Yeah.
And is still highly relevant, able to command a stage like no other person that I've seen to this date, and is still able to reinvent herself and give us an actual era with a consistent theme throughout the life cycle of a project. And that's something I feel like is kind of missing with musical artists. It feels like themes are kind of missing when it comes to like an album and the life cycle of the album. But yeah, it's just something I appreciated. But the era is always empowering and reminding Black people of our greatness, both here in America and abroad. And that is something you don't see with a lot of projects. So the things that I've listed are just a fraction of her accomplishments. One of the things I won't be able to quantify, though, is the impact she's had on me and millions of other people around the world. So her music and her moves embody resilience, empowerment, and drive. Again, unlike The Witch, I don't think I've ever seen from anybody. When listening to her music, you can't help but feel like limits don't exist and you can conquer whatever and do whatever you want to. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Beyoncé, the renowned American singer, songwriter, actress, and businesswoman who rose to fame as a member of the girl group Destiny's Child. Yes, as a member of the girl group Destiny's Child. I know if y'all were born in 2000, you probably don't remember that, but she was part of that group. One of the best-selling girl groups of all time, her solo career took off with the release of her debut album, Dangerously in Love, in 2003, and she's known for her powerful vocals, of course, dynamic live performances, and culturally significant works. She's won numerous awards, including 32 Grammys now, making her the most awarded female artist in Grammy history, where she is the first Black woman to earn Best Country Album. And she also earned her first Album of the Year award here in 2025 with Cowboy Carter.
Boom, boom, boom,
in 2018. Boom. Right. In 2018, she became the first Black woman to headline Coachella Music Festival. Her performance was a celebration of Black culture and featured a marching band, dancers from historically Black colleges and universities, and references to Black icons. First female artist to debut all albums at number one. All of her solo albums at number one. She is the only female artist. Through her Be Good Foundation, Beyoncé supported various social justice initiatives. And the foundation also provides grants to Black-owned businesses, supports food banks, and funded educational programs. So, I know we kind of have like the debate of your top Beyoncé albums, but I want to give you one even harder. If you had to list your top five Beyoncé songs.
Fuck you. Woo! Let me go ahead and pull up my music.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go first.
Go ahead.
My number one, you already know this one, is going to be Hello. I fucking love Hello off the Sasha Fierce album. Number two would probably be Dangerously in Love. Love that song. Down. Number three is Love Drought. Love, Love Drought 2. The next one, why can't I think of the name of the goddamn song? We Be All Night. What the fuck?
Drunk in Love. Alex
having a stroke. Drunk in Love. And as of right now, probably Two Hands to Heaven.
So, as of right now, my top five Beyoncé, and this changes, y'all, because I am a dumb Beyoncé fan. Do you hear me? Listen, Beyoncé, Giselle, Knowles, Carter, I love you down. We love you on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And your music, it just hyped me up for years. If I had to go my top five currently, at this current stage in my life, it would be 16 Carriages. Again, something about that song just makes me emotional. I love it. Alligator Tears. Nasty chokehold. I love that song real bad. Plastic Off the Sofa. Listen. That, I just want to say something. The album came out in July the 29th to be exact. By the end of my Spotify Wrapped up in December, that shit was like top two in my thing. Like, I had played it so many damn times. So Plastic Off the Sofa, that Blow is that girl for me.
Blow is great. Plastic Off the Sofa. The crazy thing is, Renaissance would probably be my number one album, but I don't think I'd listed a song from Renaissance.
Let's see. Yeah, Blow, Plastic Off the Sofa, Alligator Tears, 16 Carriages, and Oldie But a Goodie. Because if you want to, I got the green light.
You got the green light. Because if you want to.
Green light is that girl. That's going to be mine. So Green Light, Blow, Plastic Off the Sofa, Alligator Tears, and 16 Carriages. Like I said, that changes, though, because I jumped back on Texas Hold'em the other day and was stuck.
You, especially after that performance, because she gave us new material to work with. Because after you see her perform something live, you can't go back to the normal way of singing it. So when you're singing it to yourself or in your head, all you hear now is all her new riffs and ad-libs and everything else she's done to the song. So it's a whole new song after she performs it.
That note at the end was insane.
Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, the impact of Beyoncé. You're welcome.
All right. So my next one is Dr. Betty Wright. Betty Wright is an acclaimed African-American chemist and inventor, best known for her significant contributions to explosives research and detection. Born July the 29th in 1940 in Louisiana. Shout out to Louisiana. We just got through talking about a Creole. She displayed exceptional academic promise, earning a bachelor's degree in chemistry and mathematics by the age of 19, which is insane, from Southern University. She later completed her master's degree at Atlanta, shout out to the ATL, and her PhD in chemistry from the University of New Mexico. Harris made groundbreaking advancements by her 20-year tenure at Los Alamos National Laboratory, particularly in high explosive research, environment management, and remediation. Her most notable achievement was developing a sensitive spot test for detecting explosive compound TATB, patented in 1986. Which enhanced safety measures for military and private industries. Dr. Harris also advocated for diversity in STEM because, of course, we need that, mentoring young scientists and promoting the participation of women and minorities. She established a summer program for high school students, and she contributed to the Girl Scouts a Girl Scout science education initiative by developing a chemistry merit badge. Her leadership extended beyond the laboratory. She served as president of New Mexico Business and Women's Business and Professional Women's Organization, and was an active member of organizations like Women in Science and Engineering. A trailblazer.
Nice. Now that bomb detection is crazy, because I know good and well we're using that every day. My next person, the wonderful, the beautiful Kamala Harris. All right. That's my president. I don't care what y'all say. So Kamala Harris graduated from Howard University with a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science and Economics. She later earned a law degree from the University of California College of Law. Kamala Harris' experience across all three branches of government has given her a comprehensive understanding of how the U.S. government operates, making her a well-rounded and qualified leader. She began her career in the judicial branch as a prosecutor. She served as a district attorney of San Francisco from 2004 to 2011 and as attorney general of California from 2011 to 2017. In those roles, she was responsible for enforcing the law, prosecuting cases, and overseeing the legal system within her jurisdiction. Before becoming vice president, Kamala Harris also served as a U.S. senator from California from 2017 to 2021. As a senator, she was involved in drafting and voting on legislation, serving on committees, and representing the interests of her constituents. As vice president under President Joe Biden from 2011 to 2025, Kamala Harris served in the executive branch of the government. In this role, she was involved in policymaking, represented the administration domestically and internationally, and had a significant influence on various executive decisions. Harris was not the president, but she has been a strong advocate for voting rights. She pushed for the passage of the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, which aimed to restore and strengthen voting rights. Harris played a key role in establishing the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention and was instrumental in the signing of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which includes measures to reduce gun violence. That was a program that actually worked very well, that was very successful. In 2024, she became the first vice president to visit a Planned Parenthood clinic. She also launched the Fight for Reproductive Freedoms tour to advocate for women's reproductive rights. Harris set a record for casting the most tie-breaking votes of any vice president in U.S. history, with a 32 tie-breaking vote during her tenure. She spearheaded the Central America Forward Initiative, which aims to address the root cause of migration by supporting economic growth and job creation in Central America. These accomplishments highlight Kamala Harris's dedication to social justice, equality, and public service. And this is my president, Ms. Kamala Harris. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Girl, we all know y'all cheated, but anyway. All right. So the next person is Ms. Jane C. Wright. Ms. Jane C. Wright, and she recently passed away about 10 years ago. Born in 1919, lived a very long, fulfilling life up to 2013. She lived a full life. She was a pioneering oncologist and one of the most influential figures in cancer research. She made significant contributions to the development of chemotherapy treatments, particularly in the use of combination therapies to treat various forms of cancer. Her research helped revolutionize the way doctors approach cancer treatment, improving survival rates for many patients. Wright worked alongside her father at a Harlem hospital, where she helped develop groundbreaking treatments for blood cancers and solid tumors using agents such as nitrogen mustard and folic acid antagonists. These treatments are still a part of modern cancer therapies today. Throughout her distinguished career, Wright broke numerous racial and gender barriers, becoming the first African-American woman to serve as the associate dean at a nationally recognized medical institution, and was the founding member of an American Society of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Crazy. Her leadership extended beyond her research as she became the first woman to serve as the president of the New York Cancer Society. Work. Wright's legacy is not just in her scientific contributions, but in her role as a trailblazer who helped shape the future of cancer treatment. To see a Black woman be a trailblazer, someone who created things that are used today, you know, that is special to me because especially, it doesn't say like particularly what field it, well, it did say blood cancers and solid tumors, but like, so I'm assuming like lymphoma, leukemia, stuff like that. But just in general, like it is terrifying. And, you know, they say, okay, well, you go to MD Anderson, which is the cancer center here. You do this, you do this, you do that. Shout out to the people who are trying to make a difference in especially the Black women. I just want to let y'all know, because we don't talk about, we have some health episodes coming up in the future, but we don't talk about it enough and we should talk about it more. Cancer is very serious, especially in our community, unfortunately. So yeah, take care of yourself, please. We want you here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful. Let's see. All right, so my very last one, Aubrey Graham.
I know you fucking lying. Nigga, I will end this goddamn episode. You will not have this motherfucker here on Black History Month. This goddamn culture vulture.
Friend, just hear me out. Just hear me out. Okay, listen. This is the actual last one.
Friend, our whole friendship had flashed for a minute because I was like, I know. Friend, I felt like you just told me you voted for Trump. I did not. My heart sank. My blood pressure. Oh God.
Oh shit. You all right over there, friend?
I don't
know.
You okay?
Breathe. Take a couple deep breaths.
What is it? The braids? I was like, what the fuck? Friend, I was gonna log out. I was gonna go ahead and close this bitch right out. I was so close to being like, dude, like I was gonna.
That was even better than I anticipated.
Let me go ahead and mute myself. Go ahead and do your thing, friend. Oh shit!
Don't mute yourself because I might need you in case I get a fact wrong.
Oh God,
that was beautiful. Okay, so the actual third one is Kendrick, is none other than the Kendrick Lamar.
Trying to recover.
Whew, that was good. All right, so Kendrick began his musical career as a teenager, releasing his first mixtape, Youngest Head Nigga in Charge, in 2003. Damn, was it that long ago? Under the stage name K-Dot.
When was
it? It said 2003.
That sounds, yeah, me and Kendrick the same age. Like, he's literally just a couple of months older than me. So, at 2003, I would have been 15, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, that is, because he had a little EP he did before he did the two albums that I found him from, which is the Kendrick Lamar EP. And then he did Overly Dedicated in Section 80. So, yeah, friend, that clocks.
Okay. Says he signed with Top Dawg Entertainment in 2005 and later co-founded the hip-hop supergroup Black Hippie, and along with fellow TDE artists. Kendrick's debut album, Section 80, 2011, received critical acclaim and established him as a promising artist. His second album, Good Kid, Mad City, was a major success, becoming the longest charting hip-hop studio album in Billboard 200 history.
See, they just played Rolling Stone.
Really?
That was the first one. That put people put respect on Overly Dedicated's name. It was an album before Section 80 called Overly Dedicated.
Child, they ain't even mentioned that. My bad.
It's all right. Sorry. Section 80 was chef's kiss. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Okay. Rolling Stone named it the greatest concept album of all time. Lamar has received numerous accolades, including 17 Grammys, a Pulitzer Prize for his music, and a Primetime Emmy Award. He has been named one of the 100 most influential people in the world by Times Magazine. Known for his music and its socially conscious lyrics, innovative storytelling, and blending of different genres, making him a highly influential figure in the music industry. It goes down to say he won that Pulitzer Prize for music on his album Damn from 2018, making him the first non-classical or jazz artist to receive this honor. Let's see. It goes on to list a bunch of awards. BET Awards, Billboard Music Awards, NAACP Image Awards, MTV Video Music Awards, Brit Awards, People Choice Awards, and also Teen Choice Awards, as just a few of his highlights and impressive list of accolades. His work has been recognized across various platforms, reflecting his impact on music and culture. And notice how you can talk about him without even mentioning The Last Year or GNX.
Listen.
As a wonderful artist that he is. Or his Super Bowl performance, which was
20 out of 10. Art in itself. Real quick. Mm-hmm. For those who also played about the Super Bowl, let me just say this. First of all, he's a rapper. I ain't seen too many dude rappers pop locking and dropping and shit like that. You see that more with the women rappers. Girls. You don't really see that with the guys. And he didn't need to do all that because there was social commentary in what he was saying. That's it. That's all I want to say.
And it was a show. That was a whole production.
Y'all always got some shit to say, but don't be saying no shit that's relevant. That's all I have to say.
But that was all I had. I just had to throw Aubrey's picture up there first to get that reaction. And you gave me everything that I needed. And then saw. No, you motherfucking lying. Voice got deep as hell. She like to punch me in the damn throat.
The way I was gagged, bitch, I was like, I know. I just know. Fred, I was gonna cut this bitch off. I was literally gonna cut this bitch off and be like, that's the end of this.
First of all, for you to even believe, I don't even listen to Drake. There is no way possible he would have made it. Whew. I know you motherfucking lie.
My real voice came out. So I don't know if I ever talked about this on the podcast, y'all, but like I typically speak, and I've done this for years, in a higher pitch. This is not my real voice. If you ever hear me upset or like just genuinely talking in real life, my tone is much richer. It's a lot deeper. So it's like funny when people talk to me in real life. But I've kind of like trained myself to talk like this. Because I already look like my daddy, so I look like a little boy in the face.
Shut up. Like,
when I talk in my real voice, I turn into like a super stud, and I'm really not that. And it's like all the women in my family have deeper voices. And unfortunately, with me being a dyke, God just gave me the deepest voice. I was like, oh, this is a joke. You were being funny. So kind of like that thing that gay men do when they animate their voice, I do the same thing. But if I talk in my normal voice, this is what I normally sound like. This is much more controlled. This is relaxing. And you see kind of like how I have to like pump my chest up. But if I'm just talking like myself, then yeah, this is what I sound like. Which I don't know if y'all have noticed this, but it has been a couple of episodes where like I have came in like this. If it's something more serious, then I don't feel like being as animated and all that other good stuff.
I like it. I like all your voices. Especially the last time I heard her sound like that, I was at her apartment. And I don't know what I had done ate, but I was passing gas. Child, her and her daughter was about to whoop my ass. She came from downstairs. She said, "You did it again."
My baby was fed the fuck up.
She was upset, boy. Like, God damn. What's got? I'm so sorry. The Y
Refrigerator. You want to start? So, okay, here's the game, y'all. So, I've seen this a couple of times, and it looks hella fun. And I feel like me and Atticus would be really good at this. So, the game is, it's an A through Z game. One person starts out with a letter, and the next person. So, one letter, one sentence, and then the next person picks up with the next letter, and they tell a sentence. But y'all have to tell a story with this. So, I don't know. That I like shit like that, so I feel like that would be hella fun.
It's gonna be fun. I can't say I'm gonna be good at it.
I can't either, because when it gets to certain, I'm like, ooh, girl. Think of a letter, Hope. Think of a letter, bitch. Right.
Hey, friend, what you up to today?
Boy, just out here sitting on the front porch eating bananas.
Child, I know you ain't sitting on that front porch like a monkey eating no goddamn bananas.
Damn.
I hate that that's a sentence all in itself. shit.
Not me pulling up the alphabet, bitch, because I'm like,
I done already pulled it up. I can't say nothing. Everybody doing this new trend on TikTok. You seen it?
For real? Not really.
Girl, you got to see this one. They doing that new Spanish song with Drake.
Haciendo la raba.
I can't even deal with you.
Jokes all day. You already know how I do.
Killing me.
Listen. I mean, it is what it is. That is not. It was an M, nigga. Monkey noises.
Man, I ain't know what to say.
Nah, because you play too much.
Orenthal, Rufus, Clyde. I don't know if anybody remember where that came from.
Please, friend. You play all day.
Quite literally. One day I'll grow up and get myself together.
R. Kelly still alive?
Oh!
That was a question, by the way.
Still alive. I heard that nigga finna try to get out again.
Take him, Lord. Take him. Take him saying that nigga ain't going to heaven.
Under. Dying, you're dying of hunger.
Shit is so funny. victory shall be ours. Because at the end of the day, can't nobody hold us down during Black History Month.
Whoop, 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 whoop. It's the crab from Futurama. Whoop.
X gonna give it to you.
Shit, you so random.
Zebra meat made me do it.
Okay, I see you. I see.
See?
You gonna try that zebra meat with me, friend?
I will not.
We gonna try that zebra steak.
All them exotic animals be having all kind of in. Oh, I don't want no worms.
They gonna grill it up real good. All the worms gonna be dead. Okay. First question. How do you know your female friend is done with the relationship? A, she starts going out more. B, she cuts her hair. C, she starts posting inspirational quotes. Or D, she starts deleting pictures off social media.
It's all of the above, honestly.
It's
if I had to go on one, I ain't gonna say cut her hair because I feel like Black women don't do that.
That's true.
It's probably deleting pictures off social media because they don't never really say that it's over. You just don't see them niggas no more. Like,
they go from
having 100 Instagram pictures down to 76. You're like, what the fuck is missing? And you start looking down and you realize that nigga ain't there no more.
Ain't there. All them pictures is gone. She starts deleting pictures off her social media. I believe yep. C is there too. Because they like subliminal inspirational quotes. Love a when good people, subliminal.
When people don't see who you really are, you be like, that normally comes after the Instagram deletion. So after they delete everything, you start seeing, you're like, oh, girl, go to therapy, bitch.
Here we go again. Right.
All right. So this is a food. It is typically served during the holidays. It's very particular to Black people.
Is it chitlins?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
People love that this touches with the macaroni. What do you hear people say?
Baked beans?
Mm-mm.
They love when it touches with macaroni?
Yes.
And it's typically during the holiday.
What'd you say? It froze for a minute.
Is it a meat?
No, it's a veggie.
Potato salad?
Mm-mm.
No, a veggie.
In the right family. It's potato-esque.
Esque. Oh, sweet potatoes. Or yams.
Yams. Boop.
There we yams. Go. Okay. What song is considered a millennial Negro spiritual? The intro to Dreams and Nightmares. Mm-mm. Nuck If You Buck. Wipe Me Down, or Swag Surfing.
I come up in the club, VIP, all drinks on me, but all.
Wipe Me Down.
VIP, gas tank on me, but all drinks on me. It's Wipe Me Down.
Wipe Me Down.
Yeah.
We love Nuck If You Buck, but it's Wipe Me Down.
So mine is, and I love that this is in there because you're going to love this, and I feel like you'll get this. So this is a season, but mm-hmm. This ain't just a regular season, bitch. Just,
Hot Girl Summer.
Yes, sir. That is literally it, too. Hot Girl Summer.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. The cards better have it right. If you wake up Saturday morning to hear loud music playing, what might you be expected to do?
You're going to clean up. I don't even need to see the rest of the goddamn. It's specifically
a very black thing.
You wake up and you hear either gospel music or you hear like Anita Baker or Luther. You wake up.
Yes.
Damn it. Like you are, because you know you're going to have to scrub the damn baseboards and do all kind of shit that you don't want to do.
Or what's that type of music? It's like the cleanup woman music. The cleanup woman.
Cleanup woman.
Yeah.
It's a woman.
I don't know what you call that kind of music, but once you hear that.
The blues.
The blues. Yes.
All right. So my next one is Doechii won a Grammy off of this type of album.
A rap album.
Yes, but no. What do rap artists typically make if they don't put out a full body of work?
A mixtape.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mixtape.
A mixtape. Which bitch you know made a million off a mixtape? It's crazy because I feel like when we were young, mixtapes were like them over old like beats.
Yeah.
But mixtapes now be having like original music.
Well, I think because there's legal implications to it. So it's like kind of that shit that Frank Ocean pulled. So it's like, you know, okay, I'll just put out a mixtape. And I can, the mixtape, I can put out what the fuck I want to put out.
True. True, true. What is one thing that's the ultimate sign of disrespect? Rolling your eyes, back talk, slamming doors. Did I say this one before already? Slamming doors or calling your mom by her first name.
Oh, Jesus. For me, it's calling my mama by my by her first name. Bitch, I... No. Mm-mm. If not all of the above. I mean, you got back talking, rolling your eyes, but you know. No. I don't know. Back talk.
I dared not slam doors.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, we just didn't slam doors. We done got into it, and then I'm going to slam a door. Now I'm going to get my head slammed into some shit.
You ain't lying. It's going to sound like World War III in this room. And I'm just going to be sitting in the corner.
I hate you. Bitch. And they still hear that. What you say? Y'all... Black people, we might have been traumatized.
We might have been. I can honestly say I ain't get a whole lot of whooping, so.
I see, I was lucky on my mom's side because my mom doesn't do whoopings. I guess that's why I don't either. Something about whooping seems slavish to me, and I just don't like it. I just don't like it. All right, so my last one is, this is easy. I am currently growing this, and in a few months, I'll be able to get what?
Braids.
What's another word for braids?
Twists.
Another word. You're close.
Dreads.
No, them different hairstyles.
Plaits. I'm not.
Back in the family of braids.
Cornrows.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, corn roll. Corn roll. Brother on my arm, no brother on your arm. All right. How do you know how much seasoning to put on your chicken? A, you read the recipe directions. B, your mama taught you. C, the ancestors whispered to you. Or D, you taste the food.
It's absolutely the ancestors. You just, they say, they just stop you. Blood pressure, child. And then you just pull your hand back.
They don't even say this enough. They just warn you of the adverse health effects.
Yeah. You're going to lose your foot.
Oh,
You just get a warning.
You gonna be over here with us in a minute.
You be putting the season of salt on and be like, <"This home." laughs> Bitch, oh, I'm crying.
We'll find out Ooh. Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Listen.
But you finna go away.
You let me in. I'm pulling my hand immediately. Friend, did I send you that video? All right, we finna wrap it up after this, y'all. But friend, I gotta find it. Friend, have you downloaded TikTok again, too?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. We're not judging, because I did too the moment it was back in the app store.
As soon as I figured out, because it popped up like in a weird way when I was watching it on the browser. And I was like, is it back in the apps? And sure enough.
It was like, Donald Trump sent a letter to the, I was like, I don't need to know. I don't need to know. Yeah. I'm a crackhead. I don't need to know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Please don't tell me. Let me delete it again.
But there is a video and I got to send it to you. It is this woman making a fucking triple bacon cheeseburger, and the bread is 2 pork chops. The way my heart started hurting when I was watching, I was like, oh my shit. I was like, okay, there has to be a conversation of us going too far. Because first of all, that's a lot of goddamn meat. Yeah, right. Same. I'm like, that's a lot of meat. And that's a lot of pork specifically. Like, I'm talking about, I got to send it. And she was drizzling that bitch with some sort of, like, mayo concoction. I was like, oh, girl. And it was thick with cheese. Yeah. I'm like, your heart is actually going to stop. Like, the moment you eat this bitch, your heart is going to give out.
See you soon.
That's exactly what they go. Come on home, baby. Hey. Go get that goddamn broccoli out of the picture. I don't want to go like this. I don't want to go.
But, I have a weird thing with pork, though. The only pork I really eat for real is like bacon and pepperoni. I don't like it that much.
I do enjoy the occasional rib. Breakfast meat is really the biggest thing for me. Sausage, bacon. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get more into like chicken biscuits and like chicken stuff. Chicken sausage. Chicken sausage is actually really good. I'm just trying to get away from pork in general. I had stopped for a long time. And then speaking of goddamn pepperoni, it was pizza that made me eat the shit again. I had stopped for like 2 years. Like, I stopped eating pork for a long time.
Oh, you know, I was a vegan for 6 months. A bite of pizza fucked up my life. I ain't been able to stop again since.
It's always pizza. Pizza's so damn good.
Mm-hmm. But okay, y'all. Thank y'all for joining us again. I hope y'all have a wonderful week and do the best you can. And we will see y'all next time.
Until later. Peace.
Bye.